Your On The Mark podcast is loading now. The On The Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On The Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On The Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Well, not quite. Mark Lawrence is taking a week off to paint his house and do other interesting things. So with me is Steve Kushaloff. Good morning, Steve. Good to see you, sir.
Pleasure.
Our producer, and she's been here all this week, all 3 days, is Lynn Hall. Lynn, good to have you back running the controls for us. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915. Check them out at www.sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us at 1-800-795-9565. Our email us at onthemark@wkok.com. As I said, On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Find out more about them at www.sunburymotors.com. Find them on the web right there. Check out their online specials, and you can build a Ford car or truck to your specifications. Click on a coupon for the Works Fuel Saver Package. The Sunbury Motor Company sells Ford, Hyundai, and Kia cars. They are the premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks and all sizes of trucks, and they're a master towing service with decades and decades of experience. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane in North 4th Street in Sunbury. All types of service on vehicles available there, from state inspection, nitrogen for tires. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., Saturday, 6:30 a.m. till 2 p.m. The Sunbury Motor Company, selling more cars, satisfying more customers since 1915. And you, my good friend, have said you have a question for me to start our program this morning.
Well, the Department of Justice has issued 40 subpoenas over the January 6th insurrection. Did you get one?
Riot.
Did you get one of those 40?
No, I did not.
Okay. I mean, there were so many, I thought, Joe's a good, firm Republican.
All Republicans are anarchists and want to start a riot.
You
Antifa guys up there in the Northwest, burning buildings down. So it's insurrection time if I ever saw it.
Well, at least up in the Northwest, they were, for the most part, marching. Although, yes, you absolutely had the crazy, I would say, crazy lawbreakers.
And the same thing, not the majority of Republicans in Washington on that day in January 6th were rioting at the Capitol.
So I do have a question, and I would bet you could answer that. And we do have a caller.
Yeah,
don't hang up, Eric.
No, Eric will hang on.
Good. If a congressional committee issues a subpoena, you could pretty much ignore that. But if the Department of Justice issues a subpoena, I wouldn't think you can just ignore it.
How can you ignore any subpoena?
I don't know. But how many subpoenas did the committee, the January 6th committee, issue, and they were just ignored? And the next thing you hear is a member of the committee saying, we're going to file contempt of Congress charges, and then you never hear about it.
Well, I think this whole thing has been a little more partisan than I would have liked it to have been.
Sure.
And if Nancy Pelosi had let the Republicans pick people they wanted, no matter how distasteful they were, I still think there would have been a perception of fairness. Now, yes, there would have been more dissension. The Republicans would be saying, this is a witch hunt, this is terrible. And the Democrats would be saying, oh, no, this is exactly what we should be doing. But at least then you would get some sense of fairness that witnesses had been asked to tough questions from the other side, on both sides of the issue. The Republicans could have called some witnesses. The Democrats called witnesses. But that isn't the way this has played out.
No. As I made the point on your program before, McCarthy, the head Republican in the House, I think he submitted originally 5 names. Two of them, one was, Jordan.
Jordan.
Okay, so here you got a guy who's, theoretically, Congress people are supposed to go into these things with an open mind. Jim Jordan had made it very clear from everything he's ever said, he did not have an open mind. And there was one other whose name escapes me.
A lesser guy who's not running for re-election.
And so Nancy Pelosi rejected those two. Now, again, I don't know the ins and outs of Congress, but the fact that this is a select committee, maybe that has something to do with the, I mean, let's face it, the rules governing Congress they're a little complicated.
Well, I mean, I guess you could have said that the Republican leadership could have come back and said, okay, you don't like those two, here are two or two more. But the whole idea is that people be allowed to pick. The Republicans didn't have veto power over who the Democrats picked.
No, because the Democrats, for now, have the power the majority party.
And so they could pick as partisan a person as they wanted
they
on that committee. And they did.
Come on. I think the Democrats have proven to be open-minded on this whole thing.
Really?
Oh, maybe not. But but there were two Republicans, as you know.
Yeah, I am right. And, of course, Republicans are going to say they are rhinos. One has already lost her bid for her primary and her primary.
Right.
Been, in effect, booted out of the Republican Party. And the other guy was retiring anyway. Yeah. So what difference did it make? I mean, if they had taken Jim Jordan, and I forget who the other two were, if they had taken those five, I don't think the process would have been much different than it has played out, except that there would have been a balance with respect to questioning and a balance with respect to the partisanship.
Who knows? So what does Eric have to say?
I don't know, but it's probably on some other topic. Good morning, Eric. You're on the mark.
No, we'll go along with that. Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Steve, good to hear you again.
Thank
now,
you.
Steve, you know that Joe wasn't part of that insurrection. So to even bring up that he would be subpoenaed is kind of ludicrous. But Mr. Mastriano was, and is he getting subpoenaed? I don't know. Should he be? Perhaps.
Yeah.
Because he was there. And his excuse was, well, he was there, but he was wandering around and didn't know where he was and so on and so forth. But the fact of the matter is, Mr. Mastriano was part of that insurrection. Go ahead. Oh, okay. Thank
riot,
you.
No
refuting my statement
riot.
Of fact.
It was a riot.
Yet.
It was a riot. It was a riot, not an insurrection.
Well, let's face it. Most insurrections look like a riot, and you know, let's look at the base causes of a riot, and that's what they tend to be.
Well,
isn't an insurrection a riot with purpose? And the purpose obviously was to try to follow President Trump's command to fight like hell and overturn the election and go after the vice president. But Mastriano was there. Joe wasn't. So we want to give Joe, you know,
President Trump also said go down there peacefully in protest. So and
to fight like hell. So which one are you picking? And then waited how many hours? Let's go to comment. Let's go to the what's going on right now. So I came to the show late. So who is campaigning in Sandra County today?
No one I know.
No, this said somebody's campaigning here in at the McClure Bean Soup. That was on part of the headlines.
I'm looking to see the headlines here. I don't see any story about anybody. Oh, Donald Trump Jr. will appear at the Republican gubernatorial. No, that's in Chambersburg. That's not here.
Right. So Donald Trump is coming out and going to be with Mr. Mastriano down in Chambersburg?
No, not Donald Trump's son, Donald Trump Jr.
Oh, Donald Trump Jr., so the main guy can't make it here because he's too involved with his other stuff going on.
Well,
so he's sending Jr. But Jr.'s going to show up. So there's a rounding endorsement. I like to hear from Mr. Mastriano further what he was doing in Washington and how he happened to be there. And I picked up something today as I was doing some research. So Mr. Mastriano was also going on the record as saying he wants to cut funding for every student for public education by about half.
Right.
From 19,000 down to 10,000. So he wants to cut half the funding for public education and form some kind of pool so his rich buddies and their kids can then tap into that money so they can go to private school while weakening our public school system here in Pennsylvania. Right. Good idea?
Well, you know, it's funny because I guess I'm not a typical Republican in this regard. I studied to be a teacher at one point in my early years, and I have a great respect for our public education system. It's what built this country. So anything that detracts from that and fails to strengthen it is not something I support.
Yeah, here's a let me just break in real quick. One of his proposals is something called the Educational Improvement Tax Credit, which would provide tax breaks to businesses that provide scholarships to private schools, but doesn't include plans or dollar amounts for public schools. So, yeah, that's one of the things Mastriano has.
But on the other hand, when he talks about a parent's right to determine what kinds of things are being taught in schools and how they're being taught, parents definitely have a right to express their opinion and to be heard and not to be called domestic terrorists.
Well, who's calling them domestic? I never did.
Derek's accusing me of being an insurrectionist. I'm accusing him of
Joe, my words again. I'm defending you. I'm saying Steve got it wrong. That you would never be subpoenaed because you weren't there.
No, I wasn't.
And you're
Mr.
not
Mr. Mastriano was and actually was inside, caught inside beyond where he should have been and said he just wandered in there by mistake. So, and he wants to cut public funding. And the last thing, so I know maybe you have more callers, maybe not, I'll continue talking. I haven't been on in a while. So the most recent ad I saw for
Mehmet Oz.
Just call him Dr. Oz.
Dr. Oz, yeah.
I'm concerned now because I did see online that a group of Pennsylvania doctors are coming out saying, boy, you know, him acting as a doctor is pretty not a good thing considering him pushing all those pills, which when he appeared before Congress, he had to admit, no, they really don't do anything. But he's on the board of directors of those pharmaceutical companies of the pills he was pushing on his show.
Boy,
a doctor is quite tenuous.
Joe,
but anyway, he is saying that he has now formed or been part of a volunteer group to provide health care and all these other things in Pennsylvania and touting public service. I tried to find online how long he's been doing this, and I couldn't find anywhere when actually this whole thing started. I know that Mr. Fetterman has been in public service in Pennsylvania pretty much since he got out of college. Huh. But now Mr. Oz, who wants to be, you know, who is a... Steve, I'm calling... I apologized a couple weeks ago. I don't know if you heard, but I've been calling him a carpetbagger. Steve, I have apologized for that. He is a political tourist, not a carpetbagger.
And where was he born? He was born in Cleveland, Ohio.
I thought he was born in Turkey.
No, he was born in Cleveland, Ohio.
And he spent how many years in Turkey in the Turkish Army?
And you know
why? Or
was
he in the United States serving the Turkish Army, Joe? I didn't quite figure that out.
You completely ignore the fact that the only reason he has maintained his dual citizenship is to make decisions about his parents' health.
And you believe that?
Yes,
how about I put forth that perhaps he is still part of the military and so forth and has been planted here to get secrets from the United States back to the Turkish Army?
Well, oh, yes, of course. He's a third columnist for the Turks. Wow. There's a charge that we haven't heard on this show before.
Well, Joe, it makes as much sense as what you said. How tenuous is that? So let's look at your idea. So as a U.S. citizen, he would not be able to visit his parents in Turkey. You're trying to say there's a ban from Turkey of a regular citizen going to Turkey?
Again, you choose not to listen to what I'm saying. What I said was he needed that to be able to make decisions about his parents' health. I guess Turkey has some kind of a health system where the family members have to be citizens to make decisions.
Aren't his parents U.S. citizens?
They were. They lived
here. Were they immigrants?
They lived here, yes, but then they went back to Turkey, which is their right. Or does that show some lack of judgment on your that you perceive from them?
Well, then he is saying that as soon as he's elected, he's going to reject his Turkish citizenship and apparently then kick his parents to the curb.
I don't know. Eric, there's no way anybody's going to win this.
You don't know because you want to form tenuous arguments.
There is no way anybody's going to win this debate with you. I know you hate Dr. Oz. You believe whatever
hate is a word, Joe, I don't use.
Whatever you could say bad about him, you will say bad about him.
No,
however,
I'm presenting facts.
However, he has been a renowned doctor. He developed a heart valve that saved thousands of lives, while Fetterman has lived in his parents' basement toking weeds and ignoring medical advice. So there, how do you like that?
And you know that he's been toking weeds. No, what we know about Joe, Mr. Fetterman, is that he's been in service to the people of Braddock, Pennsylvania, and the people of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania for his whole career. The reason he had to live with his parents is because he was doing jobs which paid nothing.
Well, Mr. Oz
was profiting and becoming millionaire or billionaire based upon false facts.
All right, we got to run.
Eric, I'm sorry.
You're out of time. We've got as much time as we can. We got another call pending. We have to take a break. We got to take that break right now. 1-800-795-9565. Star, hang on. We'll be right with you after the break.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing and can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
They couldn't hang on for the duration of the break. So if you have a chance, call back. Doug says, in the meantime, Dan was right. Steve and the liberal left's hero, Obama's own words, quote, I want to fundamentally change the U.S. A lot of what's going on is deliberate because many liberals hate our country and how it was founded. And the left's savior, Obama, is behind all of it. Hillary Clinton was supposed to continue the dismantling of our country, but Trump screwed up their plan. And that's why they are willing to steal the election and do anything to keep him from running again.
Okay.
That's signed by Doug.
All right, Doug. You know, I find it sort of interesting. You have been telling me all week that Dr. Oz is a respected doctor. Not just that he's... Because I'm sure he's a bona fide doctor. But you've told me he's actually a respected doctor. Now it turns out he's as much of a science denier as many of these other MAGA Republicans.
Well, how about our good friend John Fetterman, also a science denier, wouldn't take the medicine he was told would save his life?
Okay, number one...
Is he a science denier, too?
Number one...
Is he a science denier, too?
What's with this how about? See, you know,
You started me. You're telling me these people are bad. I'm asking you, what about the other side? Are they bad, too?
So you agree that Dr. Oz is a science denier?
No, I don't. And I don't think... And I call him that, but I honestly don't think that Fetterman is either. He made a decision about his health that was the wrong decision, and I'm sure he regrets it.
Yes.
I don't think he's an idiot.
Well, there we go. You've answered your own question. Good.
But on the other hand, you actually believe that Dr. Oz is some kind of a quack.
I apparently...
Because politically it suits your view.
Well, you know, you are putting a lot of words in my mouth and dumping a lot of stuff. You know, the whole point that I'm making is apparently Dr. Oz did support weight loss products that were found to have no benefit. And then he was another one of these people who said that hydroxychloroquine was a great help for getting rid of COVID.
Well, was it?
No.
Okay, Star from Danville, you're on the mark. I'm sorry you couldn't hang on, but we got you now.
Well, you know, the lousy cell signal and all that stuff. But, Eric rails
Star,
on Dr. Oz.
Stan.
Now, I will admit, I'm not a Oz fan, but when you compared the two between him and Fetterman, Well, there is no comparison. You know, at least Dr. Oz has actually produced something in his life. And he worked in the private industry. He was a doctor. He's a heart surgeon, which is more than I can say for Fetterman. Fetterman's been at the government teat all his life. And at Daddy's, because, you know, Daddy paid for him to live while he was the mayor of Braddock, because the mayor of Braddock doesn't make much of a salary. So instead of having a real job, he was living off Daddy's money. So when you compare the two, I'll take Dr. Oz any day of the week.
Well, and he must have run up quite a tattoo bill, too, over the years.
Yeah, and tattoos aren't cheap, are they? I know you don't know,
no,
Joe, because you don't have any.
I don't have any, no.
But, you know, I think probably minimum, you know, for any of the ones he's got is probably $100 or more. I don't have any, but I'm just assuming. You know, he's got a couple $100 or more in ink on his arms. And for what purpose? To make a statement, he says. Well,
you know
his statement's pretty
lame. One thing, you kind of contradict yourself. You said,
really? How's that?
Well, I'm going to explain, Stan. You gotta let me talk here. You say Fetterman's been living off the public teat. For the most part, he was the mayor of Braddock. And then you yourself make the point, you don't get paid much money to be the mayor of Braddock.
You didn't hear me, did you, Steve? I also said while he was doing that, Daddy was paying his bills.
Yes, that's,
you
know,
what he said. That's what I said.
Right.
So he's living off of Daddy, and he's living off the government.
So you have no.
And when he wasn't the mayor of Braddock, he was working with AmeriCorps, getting whatever little bit of a salary they were getting from there.
Well,
correct. But somehow he afforded to go to Harvard. I don't quite, you know, those numbers don't compute to me. So where's the money come from?
You know, my daughter went to college, and for 4 years, I paid her way through college. Should I not have done that?
You do know, understand, Steve, when somebody pays nothing for something, it's worth exactly what they paid for to most people.
Right. Now that, my goodness, Stan, you and I are going to agree on something. Because
All right, that's it. The program's over.
Yeah,
Thank you, Stan.
I will not get into details, but my wife and I have absolutely seen hard evidence that stuff that is given to a child sometimes isn't taken care of as well as stuff that they do themselves. Be that as it may, as far as college, I will never forget my daughter saying to me, because at the time, a lot of kids, you know, they'd stay in college for 2 years and then they would drop out and then they'd go back. And my daughter says to me, well, listen, what if it takes me more than 4 years? I said, that's okay. I'm paying for 4 years. I mean, so
after that, you're on your own.
She got the message, you know.
You know how many years I paid for mine to go?
How many?
Zero.
Well, that's
zero.
That's great.
Because my son chose to go in the military.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he went 4 years, 2 degrees, and zero college debt when he came out.
I'm assuming.
And he bought a house while he was in college.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's ways to be done.
Sure.
Well,
hey, kudos to your son.
You know, take this discussion back to where it started. I don't have any problem with a parent financing a kid's college education. I would much rather have that than have them be given a loan forgiveness from a president who had no authority to do so and just winged it on his own. So I don't have any problem with that. My problem is for someone to imply that Fetterman is somehow noble because he worked at low-paying jobs to help the community. Well, what help has he been to the community? He was the mayor of Braddock, and I understand he did a good job as the mayor of Braddock. I have no problem with that. But I know Braddock is a borough, and I know that mayors of boroughs don't, in my case, I don't get paid at all, but mayors of boroughs traditionally make very little money, and it's based on the size of the population of the borough. So I don't think he could have possibly made more than $5,000 a year as the mayor of Braddock.
I've seen it was $1,500, but I won't guarantee that. I don't know what it was for sure.
Well, $1,500 sounds reasonable. Yeah, that's probably
what it could be. We have a mayor right here, Stan. We have a mayor of how much?
I don't get paid.
He just told us.
No, I just said I don't get paid.
Oh, I didn't hear that. Now, is that because you don't get paid or you give the money away?
It's because I don't get paid.
Okay.
And neither does our borough council. We are all volunteers.
I got. I was on city council back in the 80s in Sunbury. They gave us expense money.
All right. Well,
$1,000 a year.
In my earlier life in Chambersburg, I was on borough council.
Yes.
And we owned our gas company and we owned our power company. So I was also on the board of a power company and a gas company and a councilman. We got paid $100 a month.
Okay.
And divided by the number of meetings there were in the month and multiplied by the number we attended.
You were raking it in.
If there were 10 meetings a month and I missed one of them, I got $90.
Hey, I could use $90 right now.
So it wasn't a lot of money, and it still isn't. But, you know, it is a matter of community service. When you run for an elected official office like that, you're not going to get rich on it, unless you're like the former mayor of Harrisburg, who apparently amassed quite a bit of money during his tenure.
Well, there's only
Democrat,
a way.
By the way.
Hey, I've never said Democrats are perfect. I only know one Democrat that's perfect, and you're looking at him, Joe.
Okay. All right, Stan, we'll give you the last word, buddy.
Well, we also have to remember that Fetterman is the one that chased the black man down the street with his shotgun, because I don't know why. He says he thought he heard gunfire, but nobody can confirm that. But he did chase the man down, confront him, point a shotgun at him until the cops arrived.
Yeah,
okay. And they let the jogger go, and Fetterman never faced any charges for assault. You know,
was that in Braddock?
Yeah, it was in Braddock.
Well, guess who's in charge of the police department in Braddock? The mayor.
Yeah. Well, I don't care. If I had done something like that, my butt would have been in jail, wouldn't it?
Right, unless you were
right.
The mayor.
And Fetterman's an anti-gunner, so he wants to take people's guns, but he's willing to use that gun to chase and assault someone, a black man, and nothing's being said about it. And that should be every day in the news, because if it had been a Republican, that's all you'd hear 24/7.
Well, maybe.
Just a second.
Well, next time Eric calls in and says how good he is, maybe you want to follow that with that question. Okay. Thanks, Stan. Appreciate
Eric
your call.
Won't have an answer for that.
Okay. Well, maybe he will. Maybe he won't. But thanks, Stan. Appreciate your call. 1-800-795-9565 is our toll-free hotline number.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Mark Lawrence is still on vacation. Steve Kushaloff and I are here, and we invite you to give us a call at 1-800-795-9565. That's our toll-free hotline number. On the Mark is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at www.sunburymotors.com, or you can email us, by the way, if you want to, at onthemark@wkok.com. How about you stopping over at the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury? Sunbury Motors Quick Lane, where they specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspection, nitrogen for tires. They're open Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. till 2 p.m. The Sunbury Motor Company sells Ford, Hyundai, and Kia cars, by the way. They are the premier service provider for all makes of cars and trucks, so no matter what you're driving, they can fix it. And all sizes of trucks, too. They're a master towing service with decades of experience. They are located at two different places, North 4th Street in Sunbury. That's where you'll find the Fords and the Hyundais. The Kias you're going to find on Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Check them out at www.sunburymotors.com. You'll be glad you did. Selling more cars, satisfying more customers, that's the Sunbury Motor Company since 1915. In the news headlines this morning, the most remarkable person he has ever met. That's how Bucknell's president described a prominent statesperson who spoke in the area on Tuesday night. Former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice had a virtual conversation with Dr. John Braveman as part of the 2022-23 Forum Series. That series is focused on democracy. Rice said she is concerned with the polarization in our society and says social media has been a factor in that polarization. Braveman and Secretary Rice became friends at Stanford and remain friends. Rice is on the faculty at Stanford and part of the Hoover Institute of War, Revolution, and Peace. You can hear her whole speech at WKOK.com. There has been confusion, complaints, and passengers waiting for hours for Trailways buses in Lewisburg. But the company says it's the rider's fault. One rider bound for Williamsport recently waited for hours and was taken in by neighboring businesses and helped by the police. Fullington Trailways GM Charles Lintz says it's a misunderstanding. Lintz tells WKOK the main issue is the Lewisburg bus stop at the railroad crossing on Market Street is a flag stop. That means the bus driver pulls over at the time on the ticket, but is looking for someone to flag them down. Lintz says because the stop is in a busy traffic area, the driver can only wait about 5 minutes before leaving, which sometimes causes people to miss the bus. And the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection announced today after a meeting of the Commonwealth Drought Task Force that despite recent rainfall, 36 counties remain on drought watch and continued voluntary water conservation is requested in those counties. The valley has received more than 2 inches of rain lately, but all local counties remain on that drought watch. That's our look at the news headlines this morning. We have a few emails here to dispose of. Let's see here. One says, I remember when Hillary was issued subpoenas. She not only ignored them, she destroyed the documents, the servers, computers, and cell phones the subpoenas sought. And what happened to her? Nothing. What would have happened if Trump did that? What would have happened to you or me if we would have done that, Steve? Trump, you and me would be wearing orange jumpsuits.
Yeah, Hillary was absolutely, she was treated so well with everything. I mean, you know, you have the Republican convention with Mike Flynn, who actually did have to resign in disgrace, leading chants of lock her up, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. Then you had the Benghazi hearings. I mean, Joe, you talk about these January 6th committee hearings going on and how politicized. Good Lord, the Benghazi hearings, they spent millions on that went on.
That has nothing to do with the servers that she destroyed and the documents she had in her house.
And you talk about how Republicans are trying to just dismiss this whole Mar-a-Lago search, which is turning up some materials that are the highest classification of top secret, and yet Republicans try to ignore that, and yet, boy, they just castigate Hillary over her emails, servers,
what was it you said to me about? What was it you said to me about?
How about
equivalency? Yeah, yeah. How about ism? You see, you don't practice what you preach. You say that's wrong, but yet the minute someone brings up something about one of your idols, you want to say, well, what about these other guys over here? They're just as bad, and they're Republicans.
Well, when I hear a MAGA Republican chastising, going on about Hillary Clinton, it's like, what are you? Are your eyes closed to what's going on right now? I mean, even one of your Republican heroes, William Barr, has kind of castigated Trump and the Trump administration for taking classified materials from Washington and the Oval Office. I mean, Barr has completely been on the side of the Department of Justice on that whole Mar-a-Lago search.
Oh, but you folks on the Democratic side, you hate Barr. He's criminal. He's Trump's lapdog.
You know, we look at things on a case-by-case basis.
Sure, because on a case-by-case basis, now he's saying something you like. When he says something you don't like, suddenly he becomes a less than desirable human being.
William Barr also has disagreed with Trump on whether the election was stolen or not. In fact, he even used language.
But when Bill Barr was defending him, oh, it was horrible. This is a lackey. This is a guy who's not worthy. He should be impeached.
Because, see, Joe, I don't characterize people by their personality or their persona. I simply look at what they said, when they said it, and what the situation was. And that's all I'm commenting on, the words that came out of his mouth.
But he was a lapdog for the president. He was doing terrible things. He was destroying our democracy.
But
now he disagrees
that.
With Trump, and he's a wonderful person. He's somebody who is virtuous, and we should respect and honor.
Well, it's true that he pretty much shredded the Mueller report.
As it should have been shredded.
You know, you give him lots
as
of credit
Clara
for
Peller,
that.
As Clara Peller used to say in the commercials, where's the beef? There was no beef.
I remember a pretty substantial amount of beef.
No,
Joe.
Boy,
quite,
I don't.
Quite a bit of beef.
See, one of our emailers says, Eric is wrong. Mastriano never entered the Capitol. He was on the ellipse, outside. One can be sure this committee would certainly be after him if they had a motive.
And I'm looking at a report here from Public Radio. Campaign finance records show that Mastriano's campaign spent thousands of dollars on charter buses ahead of the rally that ended with the supporters of President Trump storming the halls of Congress. His campaign spent a little over $3,000 for reservations, bus reservations, excuse me.
Oh, that's horrible. He took a bus to Washington. Oh, my. And they were all armed, and they had pitchforks, and they were going to destroy and overthrow the government.
I tell you, you can.
Well, you know what's wrong with you? You're making it sound like he did something wrong by sponsoring a bus full of people who wanted to go to the rally to support the president.
You wonder why people call you Pretzel Joe. Now,
oh, I didn't know people did.
Well, Joe, I'm going to tell you. I mean, here, you know, to say that.
I like pretzels.
Well, you're a pretty salty guy, so I guess it works. To say that Mastriano had no interest in what was going to happen in Washington on January 6th, and here they're telling
I didn't say he had no interest. He definitely had an interest in it.
Buses of people, and who knows, you know, you got to remember, there's... We can't conjecture about what may or may not have
Do you remember the busloads of people who were brought in to protest at the Supreme Court after the Roe versus Wade decision was overturned?
As they should have been.
Oh, so, but that's okay. But bringing people down there who thought the election was stolen from Donald Trump, that's wrong. Well, we shouldn't do that, but we can bring the other ones down.
If they were going to end up rioting at the Capitol.
Well, nobody, see, that's just it. It wasn't planned. It was a riot. It broke out.
Well, that's what we don't know.
Oh, yes, we do know that.
How do we know that?
We know that because if they were actually planning to overthrow the government, they would have been better prepared.
I'm not saying overthrow the government. I'm saying how do we know?
That's what an insurrection does, isn't it?
How about we just call it, let's just call it what it is, sedition. Can we agree on sedition?
No, we can't agree on sedition.
But we can agree on riot.
Dan from New Berlin, you're on the mark. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, Steve, you sort of called some Republicans... science deniers. Well, guess what? You stepped in a fresh, hot cow flop barefooted.
Good Lord.
Yep, you certainly did, because we're the ones that believe science. We believe that life starts at conception. And we don't believe that's a blob of tissue in there. We believe the DNA is in there to create a life. And the Democrats want to deny that. A lot of them, not all of them. But we believe that's a life because it is a life. Everything's in there to make a human being.
So you must be against the proposal from Lindsey Graham. And I think Graham's proposal was you can only have an abortion, I want to say, within 15 weeks. Is that right?
13, I think.
Oh, I don't know.
So maybe 16. I think it was 16 weeks.
I think it was 15 weeks. So,
well,
but even Lindsey Graham has made this proposal that it would ban abortions after 15 weeks.
Well, it's not a proposal. He just said he thought a national law was required so that we'd stop having this patchwork of descriptions of what can and can't be done on that issue.
Well, Joe, I think you're really misrepresenting that, but...
No, I don't think I am. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, well, that's a start in the right direction. They can't push everything through at once. You can't get it back to conception right at this moment with the way things are in the America, way the division is. So you can get back to the heartbeat at least, and that's a lot of progress, even to get back to when you can detect a heartbeat from the outside. So that's a big change and that's a lot of progress. But to be truthful, you should get back to the day or two once the cells start to divide, then that's a life. to be honest about it, Steve.
That's your opinion, Dan. And, you know, to take an issue like abortion and to try to say this is the absolute truth. Now, let me get this thing straight with Senator Graham. Senator Lindsey Graham introduced on Tuesday a bill that would ban abortions after 15 weeks pregnancy.
Okay.
So it's not just something off the top of his head. It's a bill.
All right. Well, I heard him say this morning that he wanted to try and get some standardization. So that's what I heard.
Okay.
So what's the issue then?
Well, the issue, there are many people who think it should be more than 15 weeks. There are many people, including Mitch McConnell, who I believe feels, look, the Supreme Court's ruling basically said it's up to the states how they want to do it.
But that's in the absence of a federal law. If there is a federal law, which is what he's proposing, that would take precedence.
Well, sure.
So, Dan, any further comment?
Well, yeah, I think, like Graham, they have to start somewhere, because the left Dems want to get it, you know, so, you know, like they want abortion for almost up to birth. So you have to, the Republicans have to respond and try to introduce a bill that takes it back. So it should go. In fact, I wish you would have taken it back to a month, but it should actually go back to conception.
So let me. I guess I have a question for Dan. A little private survey. Do you think there should be laws against couples, against people using contraception?
Of course not. I think that's how people prevent an unwanted pregnancy. That's the way it should use your natural birth control methods, and the way people, you know, that's the way to control what you want.
Although Clarence Thomas, I think in his opinion about the Dobbs case, I think referred to the possibility of laws against contraception.
Okay.
He might be talking about the day after drugs, more than
whatever.
More than other methods, I believe.
Well, some people say all a woman has to do is stand on her head for, 20 minutes, and that'll get rid of it, too.
Okay.
Well, we've got more methods today than ever, even in my young days, for, you know, to prevent unwanted pregnancy.
We do. And Dan, we got to move on here.
So many methods that we don't need to have abortion
at all. Dan, we got to move on. Dan, we got to move on. Thank you. Okay. 1-800-795-9565. We have a call pending. We have to take a break. We'll be right back.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get so selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGrath and Steve Kushloff is here. Mark Lawrence taking a week off of vacation, but Chris is on the line from Milton. Good morning, Chris. You're on the mark.
Good morning. Boy, you've been excited this morning. I'm glad to see you've calmed down in the last couple of minutes.
Me?
Yes. You've been interrupting, yelling, all sorts of things.
I think you're thinking of Steve. Steve's been interrupting and yelling.
Not a bit.
Oh, yeah.
I got a lecture yesterday about pounding on the table, so I've been very careful not to do that.
But I'm glad he corrected you on the. You were the one upset that it wasn't a bill that he was introducing. It was a proposal or something less than that. You said.
Well, that's
like
what
it was all important.
I admit I didn't.
And then as soon as you got corrected, you said, "Oh, well, then what's the point?" Well, then what was your point of changing the word? Never mind.
If you don't want to answer, I will admit I only heard part of that news story this morning on Gordon Deal's program. I thought he said he advanced a proposal, not that he introduced a bill. So I'm sorry, Chris. I didn't hear it correctly.
Very good.
Excited that it was only a proposal instead of a bill, and then when you found out it was a bill, what's it matter?
You're right.
And that's exactly the point that it should have been made before.
It is a distinction, Chris, without a difference. Maybe you're not familiar with that term, but it's a distinction without a difference. He either made a proposal or he had introduced a bill. They're both proposals until they're passed. Okay?
Yes, but you were all excited about it when you thought it was the other way around. That's the point.
I didn't care.
Can we go on now?
Go ahead.
Okay. Now, the other things you've been wrong about is Mastriano refused to honor the subpoena and testify.
I didn't say he did.
And he's running a stealth campaign. You often complain about Fetterman not having interviews with the press. But actually, he's had more than Mastriano has, I believe.
Yeah, that's an interesting point. Now, I know we have been cautioned about howaboutism, but yeah, that's an interesting point. Mastriano, I mean, he surrounds himself.
It's a self-campaign. He doesn't allow reporters to hear his speeches, even.
I'm not defending Mastriano. He should be out there talking to the media the same way Fetterman should, the same way Joe Biden should.
Okay, glad to hear you say it now.
Joe Biden hasn't given a one-on-one interview with a newspaper reporter since the day he was elected. He should be doing that, too. He should be sitting down for tough questions. All these people need to be out in the public and answering questions, whether it's Dr. Oz, whether it's Mastriano, whether it's whoever it is. They need to face the public, okay?
And I love the way you stick in the word newspaper reporter, because I recall Biden sitting down with NBC's anchorman. Who's the NBC anchorman who does the news at 6:30?
Chuck Todd.
No.
Oh, I know who you mean. I can't think of his name right now.
Right. So Biden did sit
Lester
with
Holt.
Him. Lester Holt. I mean, Biden sat down with Lester Holt for a detailed discussion.
Well, why won't he sit down with a reporter from the Washington Post or the
knows?
New York Times?
Well,
because his handlers don't trust him. And I think that may be the same with Mastriano. I don't think his handlers trust him to answer tough questions from the media.
So you think the handlers are controlling Mastriano and not the other way around?
And Biden, and controlling Biden, too. They're making sure that he doesn't.
Yeah, the difference.
Get tough questions.
The difference, I think, is Mastriano being the former Army colonel.
And
go ahead.
Can I get in here?
Sure, please. Go ahead. Jump in.
Well, and Mastriano was involved in the fake elector thing, and he managed not to have to answer questions about that. And he might have known about some of the insurrection plans too. We don't know that for sure, one way or another. But about the your whataboutism about Mrs. Clinton. Hillary?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She cooperated with the investigation. She did not destroy anything after a subpoena. There was no comparison between the two with Trump. Trump has failed to comply with two subpoenas.
Subpoenas.
And he. How come I'm hearing my voice on echo? It's making.
Well, your radio is on, so that's the problem.
That's downstairs and on low, and I'm upstairs. I can't hear it at all.
Well, I don't know why you're hearing an echo then.
Okay. Then.
Anyway, I can't talk. Maybe I'll call back. I can't talk with the echo going on.
I'm sorry. I don't hear it here. All right. Sorry, Chris.
So
1-800-795-9565 is our toll-free hotline number. The program brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. Email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Steve, what?
Oh, thank you. I was sure we were going to go to a commercial.
No, not yet.
Now, there is one report here. He did do a Biden, did an interview with NBC as recently as February 10th, 2022.
I said a print reporter.
I know. Joe, you know, I'm going to have to come up with a nickname for that, too.
Well, no, it's the truth. Why won't he sit down with a tough-minded reporter from a major newspaper and give them the same break he gave
Lester Holt?
Why not?
You have no respect for Lester Holt?
When was the last time he had a full-blown press conference where he took questions from everybody?
He doesn't do a lot of press conferences. I wish he would. Now, the other thing is the Daily Mail does make the point that in his first year, Biden did 10 one-on-one press interviews. So there you go.
Because if that was before he had a record he could be questioned on.
The
first week he could give a whole one talk about what he wants to do.
Did I say first week?
No, you said...
Joe, I didn't say...
I said first year. The first week he could give 100 interviews and it would all be about what he plans to do, not what he's done. Now the man has a record that he doesn't want to defend with the media. Rick from Watsontown, you're on the mark.
Yes. I'd like to know if anybody knows about the second head that federal woman has grown on the back of his neck. I am concerned about his health on that.
He has what on the back of his neck?
It looks like a second head.
A second head?
Yes. Take a look. It's been on TV. It looks like a second head growing on the back of his neck. That's why he wears the hoodies all the time. He don't want people to see his second head.
Are you talking about a tattoo or what?
No. This is a second head.
A second head.
It's a goiter. I mean, it's a big one, too. It's not little. It's a second head. So I am concerned about his health. Besides the heart attack and everything, his second head's pretty noticeable when you see it without the hoodie up. I always wonder what he was hiding behind that hoodie.
Okay.
So you don't know about his second head growing there?
No, I'm afraid I don't.
No, we have a guy running for Senate, and the media doesn't know about a big goiter growing on the back of his head.
Well, you know, if it's not malignant and he chooses to live with
it. How do you know? You didn't even know it was there.
Well,
how do you know it's not malignant? You're stating out fact. What's your proof that it's not malignant?
Well, I think the proof that it's not malignant is that it's still there. If it was malignant, it would
be. Oh, that's proof to me. That's it. It's just a second head growing there that your great doctor does know that, hey, it's not malignant. It's just a second head.
Okay. Does it have eyes, ears, a nose, and a mouth?
Well, take a look at it. Aren't you curious as a news station to put a little time and effort into putting his second head on?
Well, this is a radio station. I don't think putting his second head on would be...
You're the news station!
So what would the news story be? Candidate has second head growing out of the back of
his neck? Right, candidate! At least put it out there. You say, we do see this big second head growing out of better woman's second, back of his neck.
Okay.
A little bit. Besides, we all know he's not going to do nothing. He's not even going to debate. He's not on this debate he agreed to. The time it comes, he'll say, oh, I'm not feeling good today. I just can't do it yet. I'm going to try to get to the election and see how I make out.
Okay.
Because I'll be willing to bet he never debates anything. Because he has nothing to debate for. He's a pothead. That's all he is. He's a guy that grew up 50 years old living in his mommy and daddy's basement. His sister sold him his house for a dollar because he's a big failure. But that is what we have in politicians today. Just stick around long enough. I mean, how could this guy be a leader when he's never a leader? Never. How can he be a leader when he's never been a leader?
Okay, fair question. Hey, thanks, Rick. We appreciate your call. I'm glad you are so excited about this election. We have to take a quick break right now, and then we'll be back with more of On the Mark on WKOK, and we're going to be discussing the second head growing out of John Fetterman's neck. Welcome back to On the Mark. I'm Joe McGranahan with Steve Kushaloff, and Mark Lawrence is taking the week off to paint his house and do some other stuff that he needs to get done. And just for the record, we did find a photograph of the second head, as our caller called it, on the back of John Fetterman's neck. It appears to be a rather large bump of some kind. It's not clear to me what it is. Apparently, it's not medically an issue.
Correct.
Or he would have hopefully addressed it. As
and apparently,
he did.
And who started this whole thing? Tucker Carlson. You can always expect that when the Republicans are avoiding real issues, but they're going to make fun and they're going to bring up things that are not real issues, it's going to be Tucker Carlson.
Was it making fun of him to point out something like that? You know, a candidate's health is a legitimate issue, is it not, Steve? Don't you agree that a candidate's health, their ability to do the job they're seeking, is an issue?
A person's health, yes, should be. Okay, but
okay.
Here's what Carlson said. But what he said, what sort of lump is this? That's really the question. Does this lump have its own Instagram? Does it plan to run for statewide office in Pennsylvania? Joe, if that's not making fun, then I don't know what it is.
Well, that's holding it up, I guess, to ridicule.
You almost said the words. You almost said, yes, that's making fun.
Well, I said ridicule. Isn't that making fun?
Well, yeah.
If you look at the definition of the word ridicule.
You made a classic. That's fine. You know, one of your callers last week he ripped into Joe Biden because of the speech that Biden gave, and he thought it was just disgusting how Biden was attacking MAGA Republicans. And I'm telling you, the MAGA party has absolutely perfected the art of political insults and ridicule, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And here, this is just one more case of this.
So where do you stand on Don Rickles?
Where do I stand on Don Rickles? Good
yeah, insult,
Lord.
Insult comedy was a big thing in the 70s and 80s.
Insult comedy. That was not insulting people who are, at the very least.
Have you ever watched the late night shows and what they did to Donald Trump? Did you ever think that was funny, of holding him up to ridicule for speech patterns and things he's done? The orange idiot, you know, the fact the color of his hair, making fun of that. You know, is that okay, too?
There was a fair amount of that. There was a lot of that. Okay.
And is that fair? I mean, does that outrage you as much as this does?
Hey, back in the 1960s, there was a whole phonograph album put out ridiculing, making fun of John Kennedy.
But you didn't answer my question. Does that outrage you as much as the
No, it does not outrage me as much.
Okay, because you didn't like Donald Trump.
Okay.
You like Fetterman, so it outrages you about Fetterman, but didn't bother you about Donald Trump.
You know, this is the point that I made, and you very carefully pushed me right off the point I made. For MAGA Republicans to be offended by things that Biden said, and yet their party, as I said, has perfected the role of political insult. Because, you know, Joe, I never said I don't like political insults, come to think of it. I never said that.
No, you didn't.
I've heard plenty of people make fun of Joe Biden. And I may not like it, but I don't get upset by it. The thing that I get upset...
Does it ever worry you, like when he reaches out to shake the hand of nobody there? When he reads quotes like end of quote on the teleprompter, does that bother you?
Sometimes I can't get a word in edgewise.
No, I'm giving you the word.
Sometimes I get half of a sentence in, and then Joe jumps
in. I listened yesterday. I counted the time. You out-timed me by about 25 minutes.
That's terrific. Thank goodness we have a voice here. The point I'm making is, if you want to insult Joe Biden, mm-hmm. I may not like it, but go ahead and do it. But then, if I respond with a insult about someone you like, don't jump all over me.
I'm not jumping all over you for insulting somebody. I'm just pointing out that Donald Trump got a lot of insults, a lot of people who did not treat the office with respect, you know. And so you get what you give. That's called karma. What goes around comes around.
Okay. And that is politics. I mean, you quoted something from, 200 years ago yesterday, I think, didn't you?
Yes, John Randolph.
Okay, so I'm not making the point that there should be no political insults. I'm making the point that if you're going to make a political insult, don't get outraged when the other side makes a political insult about
someone. But you just did. You just got outraged over the fact that Tucker Carlson, and you had horrible things to say about Tucker Carlson. I don't watch any of these talking heads, so I don't really care whether you insult Tucker Carlson or not.
I understand.
But on the other hand, you can't say he's holding people up to ridicule and then not be equally offended by the fact that the media and other comedians held Donald Trump and Republicans up to ridicule, too.
Okay, the point is we have a caller who is going to try and start this rumor that John Fetterman now has a
second head growing out of the back of his head.
Something. And I made the point that this whole nonsense started with Tucker Carlson.
Okay. But what did Tucker Carlson say? What is the nature of this lump? In the absence of any definitive health expert saying this is what it is, he went on to make jokes about what it could possibly be.
Right.
Offensive? Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
But within the realm of fair political discourse, it's on the edge.
On the edge.
On the edge. Dan, you want one more minute? We'll give you 60 seconds. Fire away.
Hey, good morning again, guys. Well, you talk about making fun. To this very day, it was last night or the night before I was up late, so I tuned across the late night talk shows, and guess what their topic was? Making fun of the Orange Man. They have never given up. They talk about the Orange Man, his health, how bad his health is, you know, and everything like that. So the lefties sure have a good habit of making fun of politicians. I'd say the Tea Party didn't start it, but they learned how to do it.
Well, if your point is that both sides are guilty of political comedic assassination, I would have to agree with you. You know, one of the best ways to do something like that is to hold your opponent up to ridicule and make a joke out of them. I mean, that has always worked in American politics. Sorry, but it has.
Yep, and they do it. To this day, Trump holds no office, nothing, but they still hold him up to ridicule. They can't let go. I say he lives in the back of their mind more than he does us Tea Party people or Trump people. They can't let go of him.
Okay, Dan, thanks a lot. That's your minute. Let's take this email we have from Pete. Steve says, Steve, answer the question, yes or no. Did Hillary have confidential information on an unauthorized server? Let me help you because you are incapable of the truth. The answer is yes. She did destroy evidence. The facts escape you. People, thank goodness for echoes. Now, the facts escapes you people. Sorry, but there's a period there. I would also like to know if Steve thinks as a country we are better off now than we were 18 months ago.
Yes.
Yes, what?
We are better off.
Okay. But did you answer that other question?
I didn't have to.
Did Hillary have confidential information on an unauthorized server?
I don't know. But he does. But this guy, apparently he knows. So he said yes.
Okay.
I don't know if he's right, but I don't know the answer, but I don't have to answer it because he's answered it.
Well, he was asking you and pointing out that you were incapable of answering it because your nodding acquaintance with the truth won't sustain you through this answer. I'm holding you up to ridicule.
Hey, there's no place for ridicule here.
No,
but
I know.
We do have
Go
another
ahead.
Email.
Yes. All right. This one says, if it weren't so sad, it would almost be laughable. Another day of men talking about controlling women's bodies. Men, the only 100% effective birth control is abstinence. You guys talk like you know that. And since a woman can only... You guys talk like you do not know that. Sorry. And since a woman can only produce one baby a year, but a man can possibly produce hundreds, why are we only looking at women to solve birth control? And if she gets pregnant, determine how she deals with it. Men like Dan from New Berlin, who truly reside in the 50s, would like it if we still lived there, where white men were superior to everyone else and called all the shots. Maybe he should reference his own Bible that states that man becomes a living soul when the breath of life is blown into him. Get a grip on where you really stand when it comes to this all-important decision. It's time to stand out.
There you go.
So what? Buy that?
I simply am making the point that...
That's like saying that men don't have any right to have an opinion about abortion or about what happens in a woman's body. Yet women have opinion about men. I've heard feminists say men should all get vasectomies.
You know,
so that's the same thing, isn't it?
I think the woman makes the point that this whole abortion question, it's like, yeah, men certainly should have, certainly it is warranted for men to have an opinion on it, as with anything. But... You know, but men do not understand, because we can't. They don't understand what it's like to give birth. They don't understand, because we can't, what it's like to carry a baby for 9 months. They don't understand, men don't understand, because we can't, what you go through with an abortion. Men don't understand, because we can't, what it's like if the fetus has actually died, but now we can't go to a doctor, the person can't go to a doctor to have that dead fetus removed.
Oh, yes, they can.
Joe, there are cases and there are stories of people who are carrying fetuses that are not living.
All right, but you're saying all these things men don't know. But a woman who's never had an abortion doesn't know them either. A woman who's never had an abortion can't estimate what the psychological cost of terminating what she might come to believe as a human life would take on her. You know, the fact they all say, oh, we shouldn't require women to have counseling before an abortion. Why not? I would think that they should be made aware of the fact of what other people have experienced. I don't think they should have somebody beat into their heads the fact that you can't do this. But I think someone who has gone through that experience should counsel them.
Maybe. I don't know about that. And the other thing I don't know is if you go to Planned Parenthood with the intent to terminate a pregnancy, I don't know what occurs at Planned Parenthood. I don't know if there's somebody at Planned Parenthood that does talk to them about it, that lets them know this is what, you know, you are in for. So you talk about counseling. We don't know if they may get counseling.
Well, if they do, it hasn't been brought out in any great detail that I'm aware of. So, but I know some of the other places, they object to these, I forget what they call them, the clinics that pro-life people set up. They talk about them and the fact that they try to browbeat people into coming around to their way of thinking.
And maybe they do.
Maybe they do, but maybe they don't. But, I mean, the problem is that the point you were making was that men don't know this, don't know that, don't know the other. But a woman who's never had an abortion doesn't know those things either.
True, but a woman at the very least can think that in her future this may happen and this may happen and this may happen.
But aren't they at the moment dealing with what's right in front of them? They're not thinking long range about what the impact could be 10 or 12 years down the road to their mental health, their psyche, or whatever. They're thinking about, I've got a problem right now I've got to deal with, and I have a limited amount of time to deal with it.
Well, let's deal with just a little bit of conjecture. Suppose you are a 12-year-old girl and you see people who are pregnant, and then you see what maybe some of the issues that they go through with morning sickness, etc. And you're 12 years old. At the very least, you got to think, you know, that could be me in 5, 10, 15 years.
Actually, it could be her now.
Well, technically, it could be, sure. So that's all I'm saying, that even a 12-year-old girl knows that in her future, pregnancy may occur, and she may embrace that. She may say, "I can't wait." You know, I remember a friend of mine, more than a friend actually, who was pregnant, and you know, going through the normal, you know, ups and downs, and I said to this friend of mine, "Don't you want to be pregnant or something like that?" She said, "Well, sure, who wouldn't?" So, in spite of the difficulties, which were the normal difficulties, right, she embraced it.
Okay, we've got to take our final break of the day. We have a caller hanging on the line. We've got a couple of emails. Give us a call, 1-800-795-9565.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
You're listening to On the Mark on WKOK.com. I'm sorry, WKOK. You can also hear it on our podcast. Later on, there'll be a rebroadcast of it. Al from Northumberland, you are on the mark, sir.
All right. You were looking for a counselor. I can counsel you. thank you. But now that men can get pregnant in the new woke society, the first one that has an abortion, I'm going to condemn to.
Now, Al, I got to interrupt.
No, wait. That's the way the woke society is.
We already had a guy say that somebody's got a second head growing out of his back, and now you're telling us men are going to get pregnant.
No, I'm not talking about that guy. I'm talking about what you just ranted on about men don't know nothing. I'll tell you what, I can be a counselor because 49 years ago, I was involved in an abortion.
Hmm.
And I'll tell you what, I was asked to contribute $100. I said, no, I'll be paying for 18 years. And my father taught me that back then. And to this day, I will never forget that. I have been to Jesus to forgive me for that.
Mm-hmm.
And now I am an advocate for that. It does affect the man also. That's my child that would be 49 years old now and is gone. Never had a chance. And I'm sitting here shaking because of it, because I'm giving you a testimony from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And men do feel it.
Sure.
Women do feel it, and they need counsel on it, because it is an effect that will last for the rest of their life. And they took a life. They took a life that never had a chance. And rape or incest, all that has to be discussed, but you got to come from... You asked for a counselor, somebody that was involved in it, there you go. Now, what do you got to say to that there, Steve?
Well, that's...
That's something smart, or what about?
No, not necessarily. I mean, I will say to come on the air and bring that up and talk about it, that's... you should be commended.
And I do that for women. I do that the same in death, because I am taught by my Lord Jesus to love everybody, and I really hold this country way high because I know what other countries are like. I've been to other countries. I've seen the injustice, and it's creeping into our system right now. And the lies, which I was being a smarty aleck in the beginning, say when the first man gets pregnant, I will condemn him. But that's the lies they're shoving down our throat, that men can be women and women can be men. And when you stop believing in the truth, that's when you get in trouble, guys.
All right.
Well, I will, you know, I hate to come out almost on the side. My wife and I, and my wife is a...
Oh, I knew there'd be a story about you.
There's always a story. Come on, Al. That's what the show's all about.
That's what we do here, Al.
You know...
Okay, well, I can't wait.
One of the topics that we do talk about are these... And they are usually female that are teenagers, and they want to change their gender. And both my wife and I, she's a registered Democrat, she's a bit more conservative than me, both my wife and I say that is, you know, for a female that is a teenager, when you are already going through so much craziness, to think that what's going to solve it is changing your gender, yeah, I got to say that.
You need a counselor. You need a counselor. Somebody maybe that did that.
You know,
like
you,
I've been involved in that. Somebody can really speak from the heart and say, "Boy, I really thought that was going to be wonderful, but it's not."
I think when you find
it's confusing. Maybe it works for some people. And I don't want to get smart, but it worked for a couple of them. And they went further being women than they do men because they couldn't stand up to men. And that's just a thought that goes through my mind.
Yeah. All right.
Okay, we're about out of time on the program. Thank you, Al. Appreciate your call. We have one more call. Chris, we won't get to you today. We're out of time. Call back first thing tomorrow. Steve Kushaloff, thanks for being with us. We'll look forward to doing this all again tomorrow.
Hot diggity.
And I will be here too. Joe McGranahan, Mark Lawrence on vacation, but you've been listening to On the Mark on WKOK Sunbury.